Damn it. I didn't want to do a podcast. I was going to take a break. And oh, people, y'all are driving me so crazy. I decided to go ahead and do a podcast. Listen, welcome to the Dame Truth. I spoke to Mike today and I told Mike, I said, Mike, take the day off. We normally record on Sundays. I edit on Mondays and I post up 12 o'clock midnight on Tuesdays. And that's how the flow goes for our podcast. But I just needed a mental break. I needed to tap out because I had been working nonstop. I had a movie that I had to do makeup for on Saturday morning. But the previous night, which was Friday night, shout out to all my island masses. I had a wonderful, wonderful time partying with Denise for her 48th birthday. And I was just exhausted. I needed Sunday to recoup. I needed Sunday to just kind of balance my life type work schedule thing out. And I still didn't really get to rest on Sunday. It was just crazy. I was just all over the place. But it did not stop me from going on social media and getting totally like, Listen, as you know, I do this for the culture. I do this for my people. I definitely do this for women. So let's get into this podcast tonight. Let's talk about Kodak Black and his comments about Lauren London, the late Nipsey Hussle's girlfriend. Let's talk about their relationship a little bit. Let's talk about what Kodak Black said. And let's talk about the discussion that has me kind of gritting my teeth and biting my tongue. But I definitely have to discuss it. A really, really good friend of mine. I know you hear me reference him quite a few times. Throughout the podcast, because he's very, very near and dear to my heart. But I had a really, really good hour-long conversation with my bestie, Remy Ham. If you have not followed him on Instagram or on Facebook, please go ahead and follow him. He is the most hilarious, super petty, but so deep individuals that I have ever met in my whole life. Follow him on Facebook at Remy, which is R-E-M-Y Ham. I believe that's his social media name on Facebook. Yes, Remy Ham. And then on Instagram, it is A Taste of Remy. But we had a really, really deep conversation about Black people and why we are broken and what can heal us as a people. So again, this is not going to be a long podcast because I don't have the Wednesday gentleman with me, Mike Doc, but this is some food for thought, and I really want us to keep dialogue open. Damn it! It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I said I wasn't going to do this, but I have to. I must do this because it's fresh on my mind and in my heart. So let's just go ahead and do it. Thanks again for tuning in to the Dame Truth. Let's go. Oh, dear God, I already know tomorrow's going to be a very long day. I normally have my nephew, my great nephew, in the early mornings. His mom drops him off at my house so that my mother can watch him. And this has just been like, I will say this, ever since last Sunday, I've been drained. Now, a lot of you might say, okay, it's the pollen in the air, which it is. Like, the pollen is super duper thick. It is ridiculously thick. The other day, I was talking to a coworker of mine, and I was like, I can taste the pollen in the air. So, yes, if you can hear my voice, I'm not as high-pitched as I normally am. And I've just been drained from allergies. But you have no idea. Listen, I was taking a bath last Sunday, a much needed, relaxing, calming bath last Sunday. I usually try to wind down at least 2 times a week with a nice hot soak. I'm reading, you know, going through social media, and boom, Nipsey Hussle. I see this tribute of Nipsey Hussle, but it had a picture of Nipsey Hussle and Lauren London. So at first, listen, I'm laid back, got my little cushion in the tub, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, what the fuck happened? Because I just saw the picture of them both in the picture. And I immediately, my heart just sank. I have been following Lauren London since she was in the movie ATL. I've done Lauren London's makeup once for a magazine shoot. And this is when she was new, okay? So this was like way back before Instagram was even a thing. So again, I had been following Lauren London and a couple of other local celebrities that I had done with a particular photographer who has yet to pay me for some of the shoots that I've done. I won't even say their names, but it's real here in the hood. Just side note, getting off topic, always be contracted, always get your money up front, and always make sure that you have your recognition when it comes down to photo shoots for major publications. But back to last Sunday, I read the tribute, come to find out that Nipsey had been shot. And then I read another post where it said that he expired. Okay, so again, I had been following Lauren London for a while. I followed Lauren London when she was in relations with that gremlin, what's his name? Lil Wayne. And after she had a child with Lil Wayne, she broke up with him or whatever, because he was being a whore. He was just having babies everywhere. I started following her relationship with Nipsey Hussle. And I just always thought that they were a pretty cute couple. And so I had been following Lauren and Nipsey's relationship for a very long time, even before this GQ shoot took place where they were on the white horse in the gardens of Slauson and all this stuff. Like, I had been following him, following his music, following Lauren London, even though she was keeping a very low profile. She wasn't even showing off her children. That's how low profile and how quiet she was on social media and things of that magnitude, which I respected. But I always followed, you know, I follow all kinds of artists. I follow Lizzo. Like, the music today that I listen to is an eclectic mix of all kinds of types and genres of music. If you even look at my playlist, I have some country music on my playlist. Like, it's just really weird, but I am I really like music, and I guess I get that from my grandfather because he was a concert pianist. But yeah, I have been following Nipsey and what Nipsey was doing for his community and how he was as a man, even with the STEM program for young girls, I was following the creator of the STEM program because of Nipsey Hussle. I was following how they were trying to make like Atlanta a Silicon Valley for black techies. So I know I follow some of the fuck shit on social media, but I'm so grown right now. I'm just trying to align myself with people who are trying to be great. So I follow a lot of people that I know are doing good things in the hood. I follow a lot of people who are making money and making major moves, because I like to see people win and be great, because I want to win and I want to be great. I don't really follow too much of the fuckery and the ignorance on social media. And I just told one of my friends, I was like, if I see somebody else on Instagram lay down a lace front wig, I'm going to scream. I'm just so sick and tired of always seeing on my timeline lace fronts and makeup, and I'm just over it. But anyway, I have been in a bad headspace all week, and I had no idea why. I didn't know this man personally. I never shook his hand, but I felt his removal being too soon, and it just hurt me. And all the tributes that they were paying to him on social media, on the news, nationwide news, local news, you just knew that he was a special person. You knew that he was, at the age of 40, he would have been great. At the age of 50, he would have moved mountains. At the age of 60, he would have started schools and brought people, young black men and black women, together. And he's gone. And so it was just a misfortunate type of thing. I listen to everybody about the conspiracy theory of him doing this movie about Dr. Sebi and being a natural holistic practitioner doctor. So now we're going from him being great to what took him out. And you know, I heard how black people always want to be a conspiracy theorist, and just a lot of negativity. And I knew that it wasn't coming from a place of being malicious. I knew that a lot of people were speaking through emotions. I knew that a lot of people weren't really talking factual, or being, you know, I just knew that it was a lot of emotion that was being said about Nipsey Hussle, and people didn't know how to handle their emotions. Okay, so I get it. I understood it. It's justifiable. This is what people do when they grieve. Okay. Fast forward to last night. I'm getting all these alerts. T.I. is going after Kodak Black. The Game is going after Kodak Black. So automatically, and then I see my friends posting Kodak Black, this is too soon. So I'm like, do I really want to know? Or do I really want to know what this motherfucker said? Because, okay, there's one thing that I just can't subscribe to. I can't subscribe to the foolishness of this young generation. When I say this young generation, I'm talking about anybody from the age of, I'll say 25 and younger. They just on some fuck shit. And it's disturbing to me, because it seems like people that are 25 and younger, majority of you, right, have no moral conviction, no empathy, no sympathy, no true feelings. no remorse for what is done or what has been said. So I finally did my research. Come to find out that Kodak Black, who looks horrible, again, another young black man with gold in his mouth, tattoos in his face, hair unkept, pants sagging off his ass, just always speaking out of his ass. This is what our culture has surmounted to. Like, this is what the children dance to, sing to, rap to, follow, imitate. I don't get why we are allowing the foolishness to infiltrate, to just infect our children. When do we start showing our children good music? When do we start exposing our children to museums and monuments, history, just good things, right? So why is even Kodak Black a thing? Why is he even a thing in our community? And then he says the most ridiculous thing, that he's going to give Lauren London about a year to grieve, and then he's going to go in, shoot a shot. A year he's going to give her so he can shoot a shot. Fuck all that. And the way that he just talks, it's so ignorant, right? And then you hear people in the background saying, hey, Black, it's too soon. And he goes, I don't give a fuck. You know, just so ignorant. Shout out to Megan Glover on Instagram. If you don't follow her, please follow her. She said that we should have cut this off at the foot, but we let the gangrene just creep up through our body and just infiltrate it. But we should have ended his shit a long time ago. We should have ended his shit when he was talking about he doesn't date or do dark-skinned girls. We should have ended Lil Wayne's shit when he said the same things. But see, this is what happens. Black people, we never want to acknowledge or call somebody out on their shit when it doesn't affect us. But if it infects us, and it affects us as a community as a whole. It does. Not directly, but indirectly. It affects and infects our culture, our people, our children, our children's children. It does. So now you have this man that has been infectious all this time. And just not good. He and a couple other rappers are not giving us quality music. They are talking about drug use. They are talking about objectifying women. They are talking about murder. They are talking about weapons. They are just wrong. All the way wrong. Shout out to Future, who also tried to say that he is on the same level as Nipsey Hussle, because they clearly handed his ass on a platter. Because Future, how are you going to talk about anything that Nipsey Hussle said or did for his neighborhood when the only thing you do is promote drug use, objectifying women again, and you don't take care of your 13 children that you have? But we jam to Future's music. Let's talk about Rick Ross. And now he had a rape case. We don't say anything about Rick Ross. We let him, like, at the end of the day, as women mainly, we have to start holding these men accountable for the things that they say and they do. Because it is affecting us. It's affecting us and our children, and it's something that we just need to say hell fuck no to, right? So this is what really kind of got to me, because even though I say, okay, let's stop with the whole foolishness in the music industry. Let's stop with the foolishness in the entertainment industry, Hollywood, all this stuff, right? We had a few people that came out, T.I., Tank, who else? The Game, another guy that I follow on Instagram. He usually spits some real truth. He's from Cali. I can't remember his name. They all went off on Kodak Black and was like, yo, we'll get at you. But what you're not going to do is disrespect Nipsey. You're not going to disrespect his woman. You're not going to disrespect his family. What you did was dead ass wrong. I'm calling you out on the bullshit. You need to apologize and just shut the fuck up. Because clearly, you talking out your ass like you normally do. It's not the time nor the place. It might not never be the time or the place. You're inappropriate. You don't have any type of common sense. Just shut the fuck up, right? So I'm like, yes. When the Game said his shit, I was like, yes, Game, yes, thank you. I felt that shit to my core, because that was a true Cali nigga saying, yo nigga, I will get at you if you don't shut the fuck up. Don't ever disrespect Nipsey Hussle's name. I felt that shit. I go on social media because that's what I normally do. That's where I get a lot of my content to talk about on my podcast. So anyway, I go on social media and here we go. Here we go. People are justifying Kodak Black. Not only are they justifying him by saying that he's young, by saying he looks like he's missing a few chromosomes, by saying that he looks like he's from a town where first and second cousins get together and have children. I've seen it all, right? Okay. Here we go saying that the Game and T.I. are clout chasing. Now, on any other given day, we all know that especially T.I., we know especially T.I. has been vocal about things that go on in our community. He has been vocal about things that are going on in our culture. And he has been vocal about things that goes on in the entertainment industry. He has been vocal. Why would you say that he's trying to clout chase? He has addressed something. He has addressed somebody. He has called them out on their bullshit. And I am grateful that he did so, because there are not enough people to tell their children, to tell their ignorant ass cousins and them to shut the fuck up and sit the hell down. But yet we're saying now that T.I. is clout chasing. We're not saying that the Game is clout chasing. We're not saying that, oh, this is it. Tank, weren't you calling out other Black women for talking about or dissing your light-skinned wife? OMG, my people. My fucking people. We got to stop it right now. Cut the cancer off right now. Cut it off. Just cut it off. I'm going to go on a quick break because I want to discuss what my friend Remy and I talked about tonight. But one of the things that Remy was trying to figure out is, why is it that we are broken? Why is it that we are sick? Why is it that our community cannot get better? Okay. And I told him the number one reason why our community, our people are sick, our people won't get better, is because we have so much self-hate. We hate ourselves so much that we cannot love one another. We cannot have healthy relationships. We cannot have true friendships. We cannot build great partnerships because we hate ourselves so fucking much that we cannot even come to an agreement that this man died, that this man deserves some type of honor and respect, that this man was building something for his community and for his people. We cannot even come together enough without bickering about something that should not be bickered about. Like, we should not be bickering about this dumb shit. Why are we bringing up Tank and saying that he was defending his light skin, quote unquote, light skin wife? It's his fucking wife. Who cares what color hue she is? Do you see how fickle-minded we are as a people? Can you see the self-hate? Can you see how we are so sick in our minds? Because we have been brainwashed. We have been indoctrinated with filth, with lies for so long that we cannot even come to a mutual understanding and agreement. Now, this is what I say about T.I. This is what I say about the game. This is what I say about Tank. This is what I say about anybody else who had anything to say on social media. What I feel that should be done, especially when you are label mates with these people, especially when you're in close proximity with these people, when you have friends, mutual friends, and y'all are in the same group of people, stop doing it publicly. I feel like if T.I. went to Kodak Black man to man, called this man, from what I understand, the bitch ass nigga was in Atlanta. If you are in Atlanta and Kodak Black is in Atlanta, you set up a meeting where you can have a conversation and discuss some things as grown ass men. Stop doing it on social media. That's where it gets fucked up. That's where it gets misconstrued. The messages get misconstrued. That's where come at me nigga and all this other stuff. It's too much. When did it stop being okay to pick up a telephone or say, let's meet, we need to have a discussion? If T.I., which is, I know he is older than Kodak Black, if T.I. called this young man and said, hey, we need to have a meeting, we need to talk, I want to talk to you about some things, brother, that just need to be discussed, and I'm coming at you as a man, king to king. We need to discuss some things. We need to talk about some things. We need to really wise up. If T.I. did that, I'm pretty sure Kodak Black would have gotten on his social media and he would have issued out a sincere apology for the words that came out of his mouth, the ignorant ass words that came out of his mouth, right? But no, he got on social media, gave a half-ass apology, and then he's like, you know, saying he doesn't give a fuck about the old heads in the industry. Again, disrespectful. Again, no honor. Again, no respect. But this is what my mother always told me this, and I to this day, I believe it to be true. If you're walking around here calling yourself a king and a queen, you need to stop playing with these puppies and stop playing with these puppies and stop letting them lick you in your face. Because see, a lot of these children are fucking children and they need to be put in their place and they need to know what is honor and what is respect. Okay? Kodak Black and all these other young motherfuckers that are in this game need to realize who the legends are. They need to honor and respect them because they paved the way for them to get endorsement deals. They paved the way for them to get their loyalty and royalty checks. They paved the way for them to see how to make money in this industry. And for the disrespect that these newcomers are giving these OGs in the game and in the industry, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. When I never growing up said fuck Run DMC. Now Run DMC was way before I was even born. But I still know Run to the D, to the M, to the C. I still respect them as being the pioneers of rap music. Sugar Hill Gang, Big Daddy Kane, LL Cool J. You will never hear me say fuck LL Cool J.
I wasn't even born when his records came out. But when I got here, bitch, I knew who Ladies Love Cool James motherfucking was. And I grooved with it. These kids have no respect or regard for authority, for adults, for seniors. They have no respect. We are the problem because we did not hold them accountable for their actions. We are the problem. We are the problem. If you have a child, if you have a niece or a nephew, and they're walking around here like they don't give a fuck, and they walking around here with their ass all out, and they walking around here with their hair uncombed, and they walking around here looking like they just woke up and went to school looking stupid and crazy, it's our fault that we are allowing our children to be failures. It's our fault that we are allowing the new generation of people coming up under us in our communities to grow up mediocrely. It's our fault. And I'm charging every one of us that is over the age of 35 to say, fuck that. Come here. Who are you talking to? Y'all, we acting like we some bitch ass, scary ass adults. Y'all are letting children, young children, run over your asses like you ain't shit. And this is where we are lost. This is where, because listen, Whitney Houston said it best. Children are the future. We were children growing up. How much shit did we get away with growing up? I'm talking about my 35 and older crew. How much shit were we allowed to do in these streets? Okay, this was a young man who died. 33 years old is way too young to leave this earth. But the one thing that I can say about Nipsey Hussle's death is that it was actually a curse and a blessing. The curse was that this young man died at such a very young age and left a woman, his children, his mother, his father, and his brothers. He left. He's no longer here. He's gone. But the blessing was that he left a legacy for us to, he left us a roadmap, a blueprint of how we can go ahead and rebuild our communities, clean them up, bridge a gap between gangs, rival gangs, black men, Latino men, okay, and come together and be unified and grow and educate. Okay, so yeah, Nipsey's death was definitely something that shook us to the core. But it's time to dry our fucking eyes and roll up our goddamn sleeves and get the fuck to work. That's what it showed me. It showed me that I need to do more in my community. It showed me that if I have a will, there is always a way. It showed me that every day that God gives me breath, I should wake up and I should hustle. And on that note, I'll be right back. Let's have this discussion about what me and Remy talked about. And I'm going to say this, we're going to come up with a plan to do something big. We're going to come up with a plan to do something oh so big. So stay tuned. All right, guys, so looking at the time, it's 2:39 a.m. and I definitely, like I said, did not plan on doing a podcast this week. I was just going to let that RIP Nipsey Hussle
run through, because I really wanted us to honor his memory and never forget who this young man was and what he contributed to his community and to and for his people as a whole worldwide. So and I also wanted to say this, because Kodak Black also said this, that Nipsey Hussle wasn't the first nigga to die from the hood. And this is true. Nipsey Hussle is one of many black men that died a very early death. We had Trayvon Martin and just a lot of black young boys that died a very early death. What I think sets the precedence for Nipsey amongst the sea of black men and women that were murdered by cops and by gang violence and by white men is that he made a major contribution to his community, to his culture. And so when that is being said, he left a legacy for people to actually follow and try to imitate and pick up the pieces from where he stopped off. So no, he's not the first nigga in the hood to get killed, but he is one of the first to leave a very rich and royal legacy. I'm going to read something that a friend sent to me through Instagram not too long ago, and it touched me very, very deeply. So I'm going to read what he sent to me, and it's from Brother Truth on Instagram, and it wrote, Peep Game. In 2003, when Nipsey's father stepped back into his life, he was introduced to his, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Eritrean culture, nationality, heritage, and family, ever since his life catapulted. In all honesty, how many Ethiopians come to America and not own a business? Hell, everyone I know owns restaurants, hookah spots, or something. Nip was doing what family taught him, and he went back to his traditions that transpired from his home to the hood. I say that to say, what is your heritage, American man? What is your nation of people? What are your family's traditions? Where are your businesses? Damn it. Until we know who we are a lost people with no heritage. Find yourself like Brother Nip and everything will be revealed. Now, I'm saying this and I'm reading this. I sent this to my friend Remy because Remy and I had a very, very, it was so crazy because Remy caught me on Friday, which he never does because I think he works on Fridays and he's really busy. But he caught me on Friday night very late. I think it was a little bit after 11:30, and I was on my way to Denise's birthday party. And so from my house, leaving my house and to getting off on the exit to get to Denise's party, which was about 35 minutes, we were talking in deep discussion about why we are lost and who we are. And so that conversation concluded until it went on until tonight. He called me again tonight, and I wasn't expecting it. He called me around 12:30 again. I wasn't expecting him to call because he works very late. And so our conversation was more so about his DNA, because he did one of his DNA test things where, you know, it's 23andMe, and so many different, you know, companies now have it where you can trace back your heritage and your lineage with your DNA and your parents' DNA, which is something that I so want to do with my mom. And I wish my father was here, because there's so much that I don't know about my dad's side of the family, the Parishes and the Farleys. I don't know any of my grandmother's people. Well, excuse me, I do. I know one of my grandmother's
great-nephews, I believe. But that's it. I really don't know much about my grandmother's family. My grandmother was one of many children. And I don't know really anything about my grandfather's family, except for my grandfather had a brother named Avery Parrish. They were both music composers. They're both in the Music Hall of Fame in Alabama. My grandfather was a concert pianist, but from what I understand, my grandfather's mother taught him how to play the piano. So again, how did my grandmother teach my grandfather how to play the piano? And how did my great uncle Avery, how was he taught how to play the trumpet? It's so much that I would like to know about my family's history that was never spoken of, because back in the day, so many things were kind of like hush-hush, pushed under the, you know, under the rug and swept under the rug. And so there were a lot of things that Black people just didn't really want to talk about because it was painful to relive certain things and certain histories that we had to endure as a people. So when Remy contacted me and told me that he was from the Bantu tribe and from one of the 12 tribes of, you know, the Israelites, like, I don't know all of what he was telling me, all of his history or whatnot, but it was so interesting because he was just engulfed when he found out what his DNA told him. And this is where I told him, he wanted to know, like, in one sentence, what would be the key factor of why our community is sick and why I'm sick and he's sick and just Black people in general are sick. And I told him, you know, I believe it has a lot to do with self-hate. You know, I was telling him that just up until recently, I really started to see who I was as a human being and what God had for me and what my purpose was as a human being and what role I was supposed to play in this lifetime. Because recently, just last night, I just posted up a full body picture of myself and I was like, you know what? I love the fuck out of me. I love me. I find it very hard to even put on a wig anymore. I find it very hard to find angles that, you know, make me look slender. I find it very hard to, you know, pay Asians money to do my fingernails and my toes that I can do myself. I find it very hard for, you know, me to want to go to another country to go get plastic surgery to suck out fat from my gut to put it in my ass. Like, I find it very hard to do these things because right now I am just loving the fuck out of me. And if you follow me on social media, you'll see that I just made a post of me saying that I was created so dopely. Like, God created me so dopely. And once you realize how dope you were created and how God just created a masterpiece in you, there will be less self-hate. And then there will be less hate for one another. And there will be more love. And there will be more compassion for your brother and for your sister. You feel me? But until we start loving who we are as a people, you know, we're always going to be sick. We're always going to have the bug of envy and the bug of jealousy. And we're always going to be conflicting, and we're always going to be ready to fight one another until we can see that when we're fighting one another, we're really just fighting ourselves. That was another quote that Nipsey Hussle, if you have been following these tributes that people, these clips that they've been posting on social media, he said that he realized that with all the gangbanging that was going on in LA, he was realizing that the brothers that he was fighting and shooting and killing were just like him. We all are from the same tribe. And that's what we have to realize, is that we have to love us in order to realize that we are all from the same tribe. I don't believe that Remy and I actually came to a conclusion of what would heal us and what would heal our sickness, because he was talking about slavery. And I said, well, Remy, let's hold it right there. Let's not talk about slavery. Let's talk about our African brothers that sold us off to the white man for slavery. And he said, that's what I want to know. That's what I want to find out about. That's where I want to see where our tribes got torn apart. That's what I want to know. And I told my brother that the only way that we could find those things out is by going to the motherland ourselves. Listen, people, I'm soliciting all of my people to go to the motherland. I am asking for every travel agent that is out there that listens to my podcast, anybody who has been to Africa, anybody who is of African descent, anybody who wants to organize and get this going, let's do it. Let's do it. In order for us to know where we're going, we first need to know who we are, or history will repeat itself. We need to know who we are. I already know whose I am, but I want to know who I am as a human being. I feel that I told Remy, I said, listen, this whole conversation that we were talking, bitch, I was on Groupon and I was looking at the prices for Africa. They got 6 to 8 day trips to Africa for like less than $3,000. Bitch, let's do it. And I'm so sincere about that. We need to just do it. Brothers and sisters, let's love one another. Let's be in peace with one another. Let's grow together. Let's build together. Let's hype each other up. Let's be a positive influence to the younger generation. Let's just grow. Let's glow and let's grow in our beautiful Africanness, in our blackness. I don't want us to point out the fingers of that's light skin, that's dark skin, that's good hair, that's bad hair. They're Haitian, they're Jamaican, they're African. Oh, I'm not African. Oh, I'm not Haitian. Oh, definitely don't call me no Jamaican. Let's just be in love with our blackness. Let's learn how to be one and be whole and be free of all the self-hate that we have for ourselves. And on that note, listen, I hope that this was a good ride home. You have listened to the Dame Truth, the Dame herself. Follow me on Instagram at Hermosa Cosmetics, and follow me on Facebook, Edith Yolanda. That is E-D-Y-T-H-E. Yolanda, Yolanda, Edith Yolanda on Facebook. You can always find Mike Doc on his Facebook page and the Wednesday Gentleman page. Find out what he's doing next with his stories. And we will see you next week at the same time and the same place. Again, this is the Dame with the Dame Truth. I love y'all. Bye.